This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale, and I am so delighted to be your host as we visit with interesting and diverse guests. We also have the honor of featuring our guests' gospel and patriotic music, and sometimes poetry, most all of which has a definite Western flair. Today, we welcome back to the show my dear friend Joyce Woodson, and we'll be sharing songs from her brand new album. But before we bring her on, let's listen to the title cut, Living the Western Dream.
What do you see from your saddle when you go riding on the trail? Is it the distant blue horizon that calls you back to tell its tale? Is it that view of snow-capped mountains or a peaceful valley so green? Do you come back again to find you've become a silhouette in a western? You travel across deserts, plains, or a mountain stream. When you love the view from your saddle, that's when you know you're living the Western dream. You travel That's when you know you're living the Western dream. That's when you know you're living the Western dream.
Oh my gosh, love that song. For those of you who are not familiar with Joyce Woodson, she is a Grammy-nominated performer and the recipient of Song of the Year from the Western Music Association in 2008 for one of my very favorite songs, If I Hadn't Seen the West. The WMA also chose her as Songwriter of the Year in 2014 for not only her amazing collection of original songs, but also for her multiple cuts by other Western music artists. She also has been honored with Female Performer of the Year in 2008 from the Will Rogers Academy of Western Artists. But I know her best as one of the sweetest, most genuine, and talented people I know. And I'm very proud to call her my friend. And I'm delighted to welcome back to the show today, Joyce Woodson. Welcome, Missy.
Hi. Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much. What a nice collection of compliments.
Oh, well, all true, all true. Yes, I speak nothing but the truth. Oh, God. Well, that song has such a beautiful vintage sound. I love it. So tell me about Living the Western Dream, how you came to write it and the whole treatment of it.
Yes, well, a lot of it's about, you know, again, loving the Western landscape, where I was born here in California in San Juan Capistrano. And we are surrounded by hills here that have not been developed, so it's really beautiful. And we have ranches. It had cattle ranches all around me when I was growing up, and I grew up on a farm there with horses, and my dad grew vegetables and stuff. So I have that background of loving the land and the city, and actually the countryside around the city where I grew up. And So 10 years ago, when I was able to move back here, you know, I came back to take care of my dad, and I fell back in love with this town and this area. And this is, to me, to get to live here is my Western dream. And also, just a little side note, I get to live in a house that I've always dreamed of living in. So that's why some of the pictures on the album are from that house. That is my Western dream.
Wow. Wow, that is way so. Obviously, you've been hard at work writing and recording because you have a brand new album, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But where else have your travels been taking you since the last time we spoke?
Oh gosh, well, let's see. In May, end of May, I went to Texas to go to the Kerrville Music Festival and got to attend a songwriting school there, which I thought was kind of fun. My friends go, "You're going to songwriting school?" I thought, why not? To get to hear, you know, amazing songwriters like Steve Seskin, who wrote the song "Don't Laugh at Me," which is a big country hit. Mm-hmm. But that song is about it started the anti-bully campaign, and it is used in school curriculums around the world.
Wow!
It's "Don't Laugh at Me." Don't take your pleasure from my pain is the way the song goes. It's a beautiful song. So I got to study with him, got to study with Mary Gaucher, who writes wonderful, fabulous songs. So I did that in Texas. What else have I been doing? Mostly writing. Oh, I started taking writing classes at the local community college, studying to write short stories. So
good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we do in songwriting is write a short story, but it doesn't have to rhyme, which takes a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah. Right, but you got to pay attention to grammar more.
Yes, you do.
But it's a nice group of people in my classes, and so I've been enjoying that. So, but other than that, I've been busy working with the designer for the album.
Yes, a guy named Jeff. That's a cover, by the way.
Pardon?
Love the cover, by the way.
The cover. Yes, a guy named Jeff Thornycroft out of Nashville. I met him at a party 4 or 5 years ago and saw the work he did, and I just went, oh, my gosh, I put his phone number in my pocket, and he came up with a real nice vintage rendition of a portrait of me. So it looks
yes.
like an old-fashioned cover, you know.
It does. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the new CD. We're going to obviously listen to several cuts from it, and I'll have you describe each song as we come to it. But
absolutely.
what were you going for? I mean, sometimes it's just that it kind of puts itself together, and other times artists are literally looking for a feel or a theme for it. So tell us about this one.
Well, you know, I write what comes up, what is given to me. You know, it's kind of a spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I meet people or I hear a story of someone's struggle and or triumph in life, and I'm moved emotionally, and I write it, and I give it to the world. And I just had, you know, a collection. Once I get, you know, 12 in a row, you know, 12 in a collection, I'm ready to go. I can see in retrospect how it's different from the last one. It's a little more upbeat, a few more swing songs than the last
mm-hmm.
album, but
mm-hmm.
a similar feel because I used a lot of the same musicians, a lot of the same, the background vocalists for the harmonies
mm-hmm.
and such, you know, but no, I don't plan it. I can't plan this stuff. It's things, songs are given to me in a very special way and I just like them, you know.
That's wonderful. Well, tell us about the Souvenir.
Souvenir is a fun song. Oh my God. It's you know, I'll tell you, I wrote this song after a breakup with a boyfriend that I really thought was going to be the one, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I was so sad. I wrote a very sad song and I worked on it for a couple months over and over, just getting through the grieving. And it was a very slow version of that first verse and chorus. It was very slow. It was, I want to be your souvenir. Like longing, like I want
uh-huh.
him
mm-hmm.
to have me be his souvenir. And it was very sad. And I played it for a friend who's a songwriter, Susan, and Susan Anders out of Nashville. She's great. And she said, why don't you just make it a fun song and celebrate the fact that you had this great relationship, you know, this great guy, and just stay on the positive. And I just cracked up, Belinda. I laughed and laughed and laughed. And the joy that came out was amazing. And I said, yes, I'm going to think of the positive thing about this wonderful man. And he didn't choose me to be his wife. And that's his choice. And there's something else down the road for me.
Yes.
And so every time I sing that song,
well,
I have joy.
I'm eager for everybody to hear. This is the joys
mm-hmm.
taken from a relationship instead of the sorrow and the
mm-hmm.
and the longing and the breakup. So a wonderful
mm-hmm.
spin on that. So hopefully if anybody's going through anything like that, this will encourage them to do the
yeah.
same thing.
Go
so let's listen to Souvenir.
The travel, hit the gravel, grab a map and jump in the Jeep. We're making memories for when a rainy day comes round. Here's a photo from South Dakota where we camped beside the stream, and he held me like a treasure he just found. And I said, I wanna be your souvenir. Take me home to remind you that you were here. You won't forget the night I whispered in your ear. I'm gonna be your souvenir. We shopped for trinkets, bought a blanket, and some postcards just for fun. I was so happy, he made my heart sing. When the lady at the counter said, you two must be in love, he surprised me with this little turquoise ring. And he said, I wanna be your souvenir. Take me home to remind you that you were here.
That relationship as fondly and with a positive love in my heart because of that song. It was healing.
It was very healing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your songwriting. You alluded to it a little bit in before we went to Souvenir. But, I mean, how do you approach it? People often ask me, do you get like the music and the words together? Did the words come first? Did the music comes first? You know, tell us a little bit about your process, your songwriting process.
Well, I mean, it will vary from song to song, but mostly it comes from me sitting down. It's going to sound simplistic, but I sit down with the guitar. You have to give the song the opportunity to come through you, so you have to sit down with your guitar. That's what I do, at least. And I'll strum some chords, and I'll think about what's been going on that day or that week, and somebody I met, or it depends on, like with Thank Jack, I had just gotten a box. I just ordered a shirt in the mail, and when it came in the mail, it included a little pamphlet about Jack A. Weil and the story of his life. And that's, is that the next song we're doing?
That is the next song, so we'll talk more about that particular song when we get to it, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I just went, that's amazing. And I was driving to a friend's house that day, and I thought, thank Jack. That's really great. Thank Jack for creating those shirts, you know, those cowboy shirts, and thank Jack for the snap. And I went, oh shoot, there's a line. So I wrote it down, and then I came back to my guitar and fleshed it out. But mostly it's by inspiration. I'm not making a very concise thing. It's an emotion attached to a story. Here's the thing. The story has to be, or the idea has to be so compelling and full of, and intriguing. I don't know what the song's going to be about most of the time.
Wow.
And so I am intrigued by the beginning. Maybe I'll write a first verse, and I'll go, I wonder what this is about. And I'll just let go and let something come through, and then something else shows up, and I go, really, is that what I've been thinking? And then sometimes, often I'll cry because I'll weep, you know, because that's the truth on the paper about the story or the person I'm writing about, and my heart gets filled up, you know, with emotion and joy and grief or whatever it is I'm feeling. But it's a very emotional journey for me, combined with the story. That's why I like stories so much. It's something to, it's a, it's, it's a, um, a form that I could mm-hmm. fill the story.
Yes, yeah. Right. Now, do you ever have to put a song away and then come back to it after a while, or you know, months or years sometimes?
Yeah, Living the Western Dream. I've rewritten that one 4 times. I think I sent you one of the versions a long time ago. It was initially about 4 different people who were living the Western dream. You know, like a girl who has a horse in her backyard, or the guy at the dude ranch who takes care of the horses for the tourists, mm-hmm. or different ways of living the Western dream in the current day. And I just couldn't make it authentic because I wasn't pulling. Something didn't sit right. I couldn't. And one day I just decided to write about my experiences and things like the smell of sage after a storm, after the mm-hmm. rain, you know. I just love that. And the mm-hmm. view that you get from sitting up in a saddle, that mm-hmm. view. So those are personal things that I remember about being around horses and riding that I cherish. So wow. So for me, I forgot what your question was. Oh my God! The song needs to have little glints of sparkly, cherished memories or thoughts in it for me to love the song, to want to sing it over and over.
Right. Oh,
If I make something up, then I'm just going to a made up place where it's 2-dimensional, it's flat, and I am bored. I can't. That's what it was. I was bored. I was making up these stories about people I didn't even know, and you know, and I couldn't get the depth of the story unless it's real.
Unless you can really connect with it somehow on an emotional level.
Connect on an emotional level. You're right. And it took me 4 different tries to get that. Where I liked it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, tell us about A Cowboy's Exhortation.
Oh, gosh, you know, I was reading some a book called The Log of the Cowboy. I can't remember the guy's name right now. I meant to look it up. I have it in my other library. He's a wonderful writer. He rode the Chisholm Trail early days, and he lived to write about it later on in his older years. And he wrote it. It was just so grueling. The trail ride was just filled with danger and people dying right and left and of drowning in the rivers they crossed, or trampled by a stampede, or just falling off their saddle and banging their head, or all these gruesome stories. And I just went, yeah, people want to be a cowboy, but, you know, if there was a guy at a bar recruiting cowboys to come, he would say, well, let me warn you, you know, if you really want to do this, mm-hmm. These are things that could happen. And in fact, they mostly hired young orphan teenagers to do this work because they really didn't want to distress the families, and there was a chance they wouldn't come back.
I just Googled it since I'm sitting at my computer, and Andy Adams.
There you go. I knew it was Adams. Andy Adams, wonderful book, and just filled with images, rough, harsh images of his experiences on the trail. Yeah.
Well, that you're right. And mostly it was young. They really didn't want men on the trail, the drovers, to be with family because 9 times out of 10, the percentage of them coming home was pretty slim because it was just so dangerous.
So this is a warning. It's kind of a warning. His verses are warning, but his chorus is, okay, if you really want to do this, get your sack and let's go.
Let's go. You know, let's do it.
But well, I've warned you.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
And, you know, the depth that I found was that's true about a lot of choices in life. Mm. You know, when you take a chance on doing something unusual out of the box, and it's dangerous. And life is not guaranteed, and there you can be hurt or you can get ill, or lots of things can happen. So for me, that was where I found the depth is, you know, doing something in modern life, we can make dangerous choices as well.
Risky.
So that's where I connect to it.
Risky decisions. But the lesson too in the song is if you're going to do it, then come on and do it.
Yeah. And it's very
then
exciting.
Do it.
It's a real fun. Then you just go, okay, as long as you know as long as you know what can happen.
The risks.
And then there's like this exhilaration of getting to just go do it. And and that's what comes through in Andy's writing is his joy of being outside and with nature all the time. He wouldn't have wanted to do anything else, you know.
And most cowboys wouldn't. Cowboys wouldn't. Yeah. So let's listen to a cowboy's exhortation.
Come all you bold and brazen cowboys who want to ride the Chisholm Trail. Let me warn you of the dangers before you choose to travail. 10,000 cattle you'll be driving, the dust will choke you day after day. And when it rains, it floods the rivers. So hold tight or be swept away. Hold tight or be swept away. So if you're looking for adventure, bring your saddle and your sack. Then say goodbye to your mother. You'll not likely make it back. There may be wrestlers who will follow, and when they can, they'll take their chance. A moonless night, they'll pop a blanket and set a stampede off like that. That's when you race for the lead steer, ride dead run through dark to say. There'll be holes from fairy dogs all round there that can land you in a shallow grave. If you can shoot,
you can shoot,
then shoot that lead steer,
shoot that lead steer,
then mill them round, circling till dawn. You must risk your life for the brand, or they'll be scattered to hell and gone, scattered to hell and gone. So if you're looking for adventure, bring your saddle and your sack. Then say goodbye to your mother. You'll not likely make it back. So take a drink for the cowboys who never thought they'd lose their stride. 'Cause all the way trail now, you'll see scores of graves to remind, scores of graves to remind. If you're still looking for adventure, bring your saddle and your sack, then say goodbye. Likely make it back. Mm-hmm.
That's a good song, Joyce.
Oh, thank you.
That's a good one. I might have to steal that one.
Oh, please do. Oh, and you've done such a, I just want to thank you for having recorded a couple of the songs that are on this album ahead of time and got it out to the world. You recorded He Sang For Me and also That's What a Pal Would Do. And you did a wonderful job on those.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thrilled. Well, you know what? Pardon?
No, it's okay. I was just didn't mean to interrupt, but thank you. It was absolutely my honor. And you know what I really love about this song? It almost has like a, I don't know what's the word I'm searching for, like a contradiction going on, because the music is upbeat, the feel is upbeat, but yet you're talking about cowboys dying and you're not going to make it home.
And it's just, and it has
this wonderful blend because even though they're facing, they know they're riding into these horrible dangers and they probably won't come home. There's just such an aliveness about them and just, you know, every day is lived, you know, to its fullest because it could be their last, you know, and they never know, when something can happen. So yeah, that's a great song. Oh, love it. So let's talk about your Grammy nomination. There's not a whole lot of people, especially in the Western music genre, that can talk about being a Grammy nominee. So tell us about that.
Yes. Well, that was in 1996. I put out the album Capistrano Girl, which is a collection of folk songs and a couple of Western songs. So it's a little bit of everything. And Marty Rifkin was producing me at that time. He did this album as well. But it got nominated in the folk music category.
Yeah, and there's not a Western one, right?
No, not there isn't a Western category. So, that's what happened. I think I sort of owe Marty for the production value of that album for it getting the nomination because, you know, you can have the songs, but it has to be presented in a certain way. And I was really lucky. And they publish a book, or it's a paperback book, but they publish a catalog of all the nominees, and I'm in that catalog, you know.
Wow.
It's not the final. It's not the final one. It's the pre-nom, like the, you get nominated, and then they list them, and then the judges vote on those, and then there's a final five or something, and then those get voted on.
Well, just to make it to that level is huge, because there are a bazillion songs out there, and albums, and whatever, and don't sell yourself short. The production is an important piece of a project, but if you don't have the solid, well-written songs to go with, to match up with the great production. I mean, if you can have a great production, and if you have really weak songs, you know, may make it a little more listenable, but it's not going to get the album anywhere. So don't sell yourself short, my sweet friend.
Thank you. That album had Court Nanny on it and Cement Bridge. And I also did When the Swallows Come Back to Capistrano on that album, which is not my song, but it sort of pulled it all together as a concept, you know. So
wow. Well, it's a wonderful album. I happen to have that album. You gave that to me when we first met, and I love that album. Now tell us a little bit more about Thank Jack. You told us a little bit about how you came to write.
Well, I got that box in the mail, and the little pamphlet said he was, you know, he lived, at that time, at that time, I think he was still alive. He lived to be 107.
Wow.
He was the CEO of his shop until the end. I think he may have retired a year or two before he died. But he came up with the quote, "The West is not a place, it's a state of mind." The pamphlet just described his story, and I just sort of took his story and put it in the song. But his shirts were featured in the movie The Misfits, which had Gable and Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
And I remember that. I remember that movie and his shirt and how they get all, you know, sweaty and dusty and dirty and everything. And I'm like, you know, ooh la la. And so I put Clark Gable in the song.
And then they try to cool off, and they can just rip the shirt open because it has those snaps on it.
Right. Well, that's what the pamphlet said. You know, if you were out riding and you got caught on something like, you know, a branch or something, it wouldn't rip the shirt. It would simply pull the snap. That was what he was going for, was
right,
a more practical
right.
shirt. And also, like I say in the song, you know, I don't know how many cowboys really like to sew buttons on. So you don't have to worry about buttons ever.
Right, ever. Yeah. Well, and the thing, it's the same. It was the necessity was the birth of Levi's too, because these guys are out on the trail for months at a time and they can't be buying buttons and sewing buttons, and they can't be, you know, if they tear their pants, if they're just fabric pants wouldn't hold up to the rigors of the lifestyle. So yeah, it's all born of necessity, but thank goodness, because we sure love all that stuff today.
And it was inspired also by when I go to the Autry Museum to perform, people show up in their Western outfits to come watch us sing and hear us sing there. And they always have a big smile on their face. Because
they're all dressed up?
They get to be cowboys too.
Yes,
and
that's
it's so
true.
Sweet. And we're all, and it's just a joyful thing, you know, besides being practical.
Did the little pamphlet talk at all about, you know, the yoke style and, you know, that very definitive Western yoke style?
Yeah.
Was that just a cosmetic thing?
You had to have a broad shoulder because the cowboys were athletic. Mm-hmm. And yoke and back, the yoke provided just more, strength.
Right.
And it's in plain or plaid. The diamond tooth. Oh, I know. The flaps on the pockets were designed because they wanted to put their tobacco or cigarettes or whatever in their pocket and then snap it shut, so that if they were at the rodeo or, you know, where they're working, you know, it's not going to fall out of their pocket.
Right, right.
So that was the reason for putting flat pockets on the pockets of the cowboy
right.
shirt.
And the yokes in the yokes are often doubled up. So that, you know, double clothed. So
double
that
cloth, yeah.
That so that would make stitched. That would make sense. Yeah. So it's just a much more durability to it by putting those yokes in.
And I've heard a rumor, and this isn't from Jack A. Wild, but I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true, that there were several snaps put on the cuff, like instead of just two, he put like four or six on the cuffs. And I had read somewhere that was done so that the horse wouldn't think the two buttons were eyes of a snake and wouldn't scare him.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's a great story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a great story.
If you put six snaps on your cuff, would he not think it was, he wouldn't think it was a snake? I don't know.
Right.
That I don't know.
Right, and I'm thinking often the cowboys, to protect their shirts and stuff, they wore those leather like gauntlet, you know,
gauntlet,
thing
that wrapped
around the wrist up, you know, halfway up their arm, these leather things. And so if you have that long row of snaps, it would secure the shirt further, you know, closer to your wrist all the way up,
arm.
So they're not dealing with all this fabric trying to stuff those things around. So who knows? But it's a great song, so let's listen to Thank Jack.
Thank you. Okay.
You've heard the saying, clothes make the man. Well, here's a man who made the cowboy proud. Jack A. Wild from Denver, CO. And you're probably wearing one of his shirts right now. Have you ever wondered who designed the cowboy shirt with pearl snaps that go up to here? Flap pockets that fasten tight, just right for the rodeo. Broad shoulders with a yoke in back, in plain or plaid, don't you wish you had? Those sawtooth pockets with diamond snaps will make you yappa yodel-ay-o. Thank Jack, who put the snap in your cowboy shirt. You might say he was a pioneer. He blazed a trail through the fashion world, from Denver to Paris and on to Rome. Now they're even in Tokyo. Well, he opened a store, and sure enough, snaps up the front, snaps on the cuff. You were less likely to get caught or snagged when you're out riding the range. Now his son, grandson, and great-grandson keep the Rock Mount store number one. Even if you've never heard a whippoorwill, you can still be a cowboy too. So thank Jack, who put the snap in your cowboy shirt. Sage. When Clark Gable got the girl, I just wanted his shirt. There's one more reason we have to thank this man of stature. Let's be frank. Did you ever know a cowboy who could sew a button on? Not I. And that's why I thank Jack who put the snap in my cowboy shirt. Thank Jack who put the snap in your cowboy shirt.
Yay!
Doesn't it make you just laugh?
It does. It just makes you smile. I love that.
It's so much fun to play, too. But it's, anyway. And, oh, and I make it a sing-along, too. Everybody sings along.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I could see that because that's easy. It's easy to have. Oh, that is so fun. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, Joyce, we're running out of time rapidly. We have a little more time here left. But, oh, my gosh, it just is flying by so fast. What is on the horizon for you? I mean, what's coming up
I'm mostly working on sending these out to DJs, which is getting some great response.
And oh, of course.
Getting emails from DJs saying, we're playing your song. And I'm getting people sending me checks in the mail because they heard it on this show, you know.
Right.
So I've been lucky, but I'm still doing that promotion. So on the horizon, you know, I'd like to, we'll see. I'm going to write a bunch of more songs and see what they form, see what they mm-hmm. do, see what, mm-hmm. but I'd like to visit, I would love to do some gigs in Ireland or someplace far away like New Zealand just for fun.
Yes.
And see parts of the world. And I think you know this, I mean, I'm sure you know this, Belinda, but the gift of music is being able to give it, you know, to an audience or to people. But the gift that comes back to me is the ability to meet people wherever I sing. Mm-hmm. People, you know, if they have heard me do a show, then I am welcome and I'm brought into their lives, and it's really a treat. So that happens when I go out of the country, too. So I look forward to doing that and getting to see other parts of the world.
Wow. I agree. The best, I mean, of course we wouldn't be doing the music if we didn't love music and the writing and all of that. I mean, that's a part of our heart. It's a part of who we are. But to me, the real perk, it's not getting on stage and having people applaud what you're doing. It's after the show when you're standing at your table and you have people that come up with tears in their eyes and you really touched me, or I came in feeling pretty low and I feel so much better now. And, you know, that is what, you know, everybody sees the glamour part, you know, quote unquote, when you're on stage, but there's parts of it that are just tough. You're traveling when you're exhausted, you're performing when you're sick, you're, mm-hmm. you know, you're going when you just want to go get in bed and just, you know, you're just at your end, but you keep pushing, you keep going, you keep doing. And to me, it's what, you know, what the people get from what we do is what keeps me motivated and keeps me moving. And I think you're probably the same way. That's what is driving in the whole thing.
It makes it a full circle experience.
It does.
It's a joyful experience. Yeah.
Wow.
It deepens the experience of the song to sing it for others.
It does. It really does.
It's what I crave, you know. I write
right.
them because I need to write them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do such a beautiful job. Well, this next song is interesting, and I actually have some friends who are Dawn and Diane, so I'm gonna have to get this CD to them. So I'm going to have you autograph a copy and send that to them.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Dawn and Diane.
I got to play the Colorado Cowboy Gathering a few years back. And Liz Masterson set me up to, who's another wonderful Western performer, set me up to stay at her friend's house, Dawn and Diane McDougall in Colorado, in Denver, there, outside of Denver, actually. And I got to know them and stay with them. And it's basically their story, but they're in their late 70s and 80s now. I just talked to them on the phone. And this is like the best kept secret I've ever kept. I wrote this song a few years ago and didn't play it for them, didn't tell them that I wrote it, recorded it, released the album, sent the album in the mail to them a month ago, and totally surprised them.
Totally, oh, I love that!
Totally surprised them, and they couldn't believe it. They were like, you know, they called me up and said, I can't believe you wrote this song about us. They were just thrilled. They bought like 10 copies, you know.
Oh, of course.
But the important thing that what came through for me from Diane was she called several times that day because she couldn't get over it. But she finally, you know, one of her conversations was to thank me for really honoring their marriage and about how much they are still in love. Mm. After all these years, and how they love each other and how they love the Western culture and getting to live in the West. So
wow.
And she thanked me for that, and she's just thrilled. So I'm thrilled. I it was like one of my big moments was getting that phone call. I waited like 4 years for that phone call to surprise her and her husband.
Oh, so, and how thrilled they are. Don't you wish you could have been a little fly on the wall to see?
Oh my gosh!
The response. What? Well, let's listen to Dawn and Diane.
Yes.
Pieces of the West, pottery shards, arrowheads, and Indian beads. Their living room floor is all covered with Navajo rugs. Red and black and white, it's a sight to see. They used to live out where the sage is, under sunsets outrageous, they'd rather be. When it gets cold in winter, by the fire they snuggle, watch it catch and crackle like in a dream. They say, snug as a bug in a Navajo rug. Snug as a bug in a Navajo rug are we. When you catch the spark in their eyes, you'll discover they're still in love with the West and with each other. Dawn and Diane will proudly show you around. They've been collecting for 50 years. Kids grown up, lots of stories to recall. They're all here in their souvenirs. They say, as a bug in a Navajo rug are we. Snug as a bug in a Navajo rug are we. When you catch the spark in their eyes, you'll discover still in love with the West and with each other. A perfect picture of love and green. Oh, they'll always love their Colorado home, but they go to Arizona to remember those carefree days. Oh, their memories were born then, and like a fire they warmed them. They say, snug as a bug in a Navajo rug are we. Mm-hmm. Snug as a bug in a Navajo rug are we. When you catch the spark in their eyes, you'll discover they're still in love with the West and with each other.
I love it.
Thank you.
I am so sending that to my friends.
Oh, awesome. And I love singing Snug as a Bug in a Navajo Rug. It's just so much fun.
Yes.
It's a fun song. You know, swing music is so much fun to sing.
Swing music is very fun. And the cute thing is, Don and Diane that I know were square dancers for a long time. So, I mean, there's so many pieces of that song that is them as well. So it's going to be, I will let you know about that one too.
Oh, yeah, please, you know, oh my gosh, you know, pick up anything you want. Hey, and I just want to note, you know, the fabulous guitar playing is wonderfully talented John Jorgensen, who's a world-class guitar player. And then the fiddle and mandolins, Gabe Witcher, who is, again, another, you know, he's of the Punch Brothers and such, and he's fabulous, talented. But John Jorgensen has been on tour with Elton John as a guitar player for years.
Wow.
I'm very lucky to have met him a few times in L.A. when I was living there, and so I sort of know him. And he said, oh, I like the idea of your album, and he agreed to work on it. So,
well, it's beautifully done.
Yeah, I'm very lucky that everything came together, you know.
It did.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I can't believe we're just about out of time.
Are we good? Are we doing one more? I can't remember here.
We are doing one more, but oh. I want you to tell everybody where they can find this album, how they can get their hands on this great album.
Right now, it's only available where I perform and on my website. It is not on iTunes or any place else. So you have to go to my website, joycewoodson.com, and it's very easy to click on the picture of the album, and you can either send a check or use your charge card, whatever you want to do there. What was I going to say? Oh, where I'm playing. You know, this Sunday at noon to 3, I'll be at the Wells Fargo Theater at the Autry Museum in Burbank.
Oh, excellent.
With all the other WMA members, we're all doing an In the Round song circle there.
Wow.
And as I do every month, every third Sunday, I play there. And I'm also, this December 17th, I'm going to be featured performer at Curly's Cowboy Christmas Show.
Yes, you are.
In Victorville, California, it's Roy Rogers, a benefit for Roy Rogers Happy Trails Children Foundation.
It is.
Come on out to Victorville and see a show there, and that'll be fun. So
yes, it will be fun. And thank you for doing that, by the way, because all of the performers that come in for that show come in, they do not get paid for being there, so that the proceeds all go to the children. And so in the spirit of Roy Rogers and in the spirit of the West, of taking care of each other. So you made a little cameo at one of those, and everybody loved you. So I was real excited that you're going to be back for a full show. It'll be really awesome. And I have to tell you, in listening to the songs on this album, I don't know, I don't know if you've thought of this, but I would really encourage you to submit this for a Wrangler Award from the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma, because they really look for songs that are very, you know, true to the West and true to, you know, just the spirit and the feel of the West. And you have just some amazing songs on here, and I would absolutely submit some specific songs and the entire album. I really would.
I'll have to look into how to do that, but
you need to, girl. You have until December to submit for that. Okay. But I would really encourage you to do
Belinda.
That.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I feel encouraged by that.
Good. Well, before we let you go, we're going to do, one of my very, very favorites, because I was very privileged to be the first one to record this. And I'm so eager for everyone to hear your version, because even though I, you know, love the song and I just love performing it and love singing it, there's just something about what you bring to the song, because you wrote it, you actually talked to the person that inspired the song. So you bring an element to this song that only you can bring to this song.
Thank
and so
you,
I'm really eager for people to hear it. So tell them a little bit about the backstory on how you wrote He Sang For Me.
Oh, a fan had written to me, and we were just sort of being pen pals, you know, and I would write back, and I think he was surprised that I wrote back. He wrote me like an 8-page handwritten letter, which, who gets those letters? Who writes handwritten letters anymore? And I was so intrigued by his story, because he had, the story is in the song. I don't want to ruin it, but it's a true story. And I changed a couple things to the story, so it's like 90% his story, you know.
Yes.
And I was so moved by that letter, and it sat on my writing table for probably 3 or 4 days, and I kept walking by it going, sort of asking, you know, how can I write this? This is like such an amazing moment, and there's a moment in there in the bridge that just chills me. It warms me and chills me. I don't know how to say that. It moves me, and I wanted to honor his story, and it's hard to talk about, but it took me several hours a day for like a week solid to get it polished right. And but each time I sang it, I would just like cry. Oh, you know, and I sang this in Sierra Vista earlier this year. I forgot I mentioned I play there, and down in Arizona.
Yes.
And while I was singing it, I was thinking to myself, you know, where does this speak to me? And usually it's his story, but all of a sudden I remembered all the people I'd seen performing through my life who moved me with their singing and with their songs, and they sang for me. They pulled me out of isolation. They pulled me out of depression. They pulled me out of and into a world of music and joy, and they sang for me. So all of a sudden, I started crying at the end of the song and could barely make it through.
Oh, wow.
Had to turn, and while they were, you know, I had to turn and wipe my eyes and blow my nose, you know. And when I came back to the mic, everyone was standing and applauding.
Oh, wow. What a moment.
So moved. And it was that moment, you know, when And I explained to them, I said, I'm sorry, I was crying, but, and I explained to them what my experience was. All of a sudden, it, in my mind, came up images of people I've seen perform specific songs that have moved me, that have helped me move forward in life, that I cherish with all my heart, being in the world of music and hearing other people sing when I was younger. And I was just full of gratitude. Mm. And that's what made me sing. So that's a part of the emotional involvement I have in this song as well.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so, so much for mm-hmm. all that
oh,
you
very well.
Bless us with your music and for being on the show. And we definitely will have to have you back. You know, you're one of my favorite people. So we
thank
will
you,
definitely have you back again. And we are going to close out Joyce's segment with her gorgeous song, He Sang for Me.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
When I was 9 years old, my legs just wouldn't work. In and out of hospitals, the days wore on. Then someone came to visit one rainy afternoon. It changed my life with a song. I knew that day was special when the nurses fussed about all us kids. We didn't know what to expect. He walked in with his guitar, no one made a sound. Then he came and sat down on my bed, and he sang for me, he sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me, and as long as I lived, I believe he changed my life with a song when he sang for me. Well, I knew who he was from the weekend matinee. He and his horse Trigger were paired. And though the room was full of kids in the hospital that day, when he shook my hand, he winked and said, put her there.
Then he sang for me, he sang for me.
The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. As long as I live, I believe he changed my life with a song when he sang for me. He wrote me a letter. It's still hard to believe, but I'll always remember he said he'll pray for me. Now that was long ago, though that day is with me still. I sing for kids in hospitals today. Though I don't have a horse, this old wheelchair gets me round, and I still have his picture that he gave me that day.
When he sang for me, he sang for me.
The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me.
And as long as I live,
I believe
he changed my life with a song when he sang for me.
Oh, that song is just so touching. As always, it is such a delight to spend time with Joyce, and I'm always struck by her kindness and humility. She's just such a treasure. And of course, the closing song, He's For Me. I think that's one of her most powerful and definitely one of my absolute favorites for so many reasons. One being, of course, it's about one of my heroes, Roy Rogers. But more than that, it's about the power of kindness. Now, this is an attribute that we as Christians are called to wrap ourselves in until it permeates our very soul. It should define us. In Colossians 3:12, we are told, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And in Romans 12:10, we are told to keep it, to just kind of step it up a bit. And it says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." So for me, being kind and compassionate towards others, friends and enemies alike, it's not just something that would be nice for us to do. It's a calling with very specific instructions from our Heavenly Father. And like Roy Rogers' simple kindness and compassion towards a child, our acts of kindness and compassion have the power to literally change people's lives. Now, why is that so powerful? What is at the root of kindness, compassion, and mercy and humility? What is at the root of that? Well, Scripture tells us that it's love. And why is that? We are told in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. It says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's why love is so powerful. That's why kindness is so powerful. It is the essence of God. So when we act as a channel for that love, powerful things just can't help but happen. So I would encourage you to relax into the love of God, allow it to seep into the very fiber of your being, and you'll not be able to stop the love and kindness that will flow naturally through you. So I would like to close with this scripture, one of my very favorite in Micah 6:8. "He has shown all of you people what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Well, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Joyce Woodson, for visiting and sharing so much of her heart with us today. And there is never a big enough thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. Please check out all of the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and remember that they are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app that allows you to take us on the go with you. And so if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all of your trails be blessed.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells other has the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.